thank you all for sharing your faith and love. And a word for Ed and Debbie. How many played volleyball with Ed? Some of you guys have. And he is a tiger on the volleyball court. The most aggressive player, apparently, on Mondays or whenever these guys get together. And what is that thing they say you do when you dive on the floor? What is that called?
Crazy.
A what?
Crazy.
But Ed, you know, very strong, mild-mannered guy. You get him on that volleyball court, he turns into, I don't know, Jerome Bettis or somebody like that. Fierce competitor. That's fantastic. And his heart toward the Lord, of course, that family hosted us at the KOA for some of our really great church picnics, which we enjoyed, plus the fellowship. Plus, if you got to know Debbie, not only the blessing of the choir, but she has an incredible ability to think theologically very clearly. And if you ever ask her a question, a Bible question, she'll zero in on that in such a clear manner and give a really good response. So I could see, this is not, I'm not being the prophet Isaiah, but I could see in the future, Lord willing, and Ed coaxing, you know, Debbie Vandermolen, PhD, if certainly further education is, you would benefit from in every manner with all the free time you guys will have, of course. But thank you for your love for the Lord. And love for missions is big on their heart too, which ties into the passage here in Philippians 4. Paul was really blessed and sent by the Philippian church. And someone said it was Paul's letter to the Philistines, not the Philistines, the Philippians. Okay. And so they blessed him with some offerings. He said, thank you so much. You got to show your concern that you had for me. And here's some support, Paul, that you need even while you're in prison. And Paul, he had to encourage them by saying, you through your human resources met my needs, but those came from God. And he said, my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. It's chapter 4, verse 19. And we could see some missionaries saying that to us. I picked out Crystal Dale and Rachel Wilson. You know, they go, and we say we pray for them, and we feel like, oh, our hearts are with them. And Rachel in Ethiopia, Crystal in the Middle East there. And then we say, we want to support in every way. And they say to us, in fact, I think both of them have quoted Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ. And that's a verse that was really a team ministry verse. And a lot of times, which is A-okay, you know, we're not going to fuss about Christian t-shirts and everything. That verse is looked at as a cover-all for every possible need we have under the sun. My ear aches, I quote Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches, and the earache will go away and so forth. Or I need a new pair of shoes, my God will supply all my needs. But really, when Paul wrote that, of course, he's writing in prison. He's saying, thank you for these gifts of daily bread. And God will make you wealthy in Christ. In Christ. So not so much about the earache or the new pair of shoes, you see. But more, you will know the riches of Christ in your soul. So that's the point of the passage. So you can keep the t-shirt, you know, don't throw it away. But know what the intent of the Lord was and Paul was. In God's riches in Christ, which is what we want to focus in on, Lord willing. Years ago, you should be familiar with a fellow named Abraham Maslow from the secular world, but he struggled with human need. So he studied 60 years, and he said, these are the basic needs that if people don't get, they will pretty much be full of anxiety and distress. And some of the three more significant needs that he saw was belonging, okay, feeling like you belong to somebody. And Christ comes and touches that need in our soul, As the song says, now I belong to Jesus, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. So we were created to belong to Christ, to others, teams us up with God's people, his glorious riches in Christ. In Ephesians, Paul said this, to God be glory in the church and in Christ. Mentions the church first. So God's people belonging to one another, in God's view, is just as important as belonging to the Lord. In fact, you can't have one without the other. So if you're pro-church, you're pro-Christ. If you're anti-church, you're anti-Christ. See? Anything anti-Christ is not going to attack Jesus. That would be futile. But it will attack God's people. So one of them needs belonging. That was all under belonging. And then to love and be loved. Jesus supplies that need out of his riches. He loved us before we knew him, the song says. We love before because he first loved us. Always comes ahead of the pack, the Lord does, doesn't he? In doing things. So we know how to love and be loved. He teaches us that both as a gift and learning curve. And then Maslow came up with one more purpose. Purpose. Do you feel like your life matters? It has a meaning from God. The old timer says, well, you know what your purpose is? It's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Thought about this with the Dale Matthews life and his passing. He was fond. He was master of two dear dogs that he loved, and you know you have that encouragement and so forth. And I'm sure when Dale was around, the dogs would wag the tail, and be glad to see him. You know, they say the old joke is your dogs love you more than your family members. Well, how so? Lock each one in the bathroom and then open the door after an hour and see which one is more glad to see you. Okay. It'll be the dog. And so the creature is glad for the master. Creature is glad for the master. God in the Old Testament says, oh, even a donkey knows its master. I want my people to know me. And so our hearts, in terms of meaning, we could ask God, Lord, help me to be reverent, fearful, but also so glad to see you. Our soul kind of, you know, gets oh, it's the Lord. You know, can we be near to him today in a service, Monday afternoon at work, or wherever God calls you? The need that Jesus would meet out of his glorious riches. And we can have the other things in life, basic needs met, but still be empty on our soul. Yeah. As Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So I don't have the earache. I got the nice pair of shoes. I got the car that'll go for 200,000 miles, you know. And my soul could be empty. I want to know the riches in Christ, not just the needs that are from God, but rather the biggest need, and our biggest need is always the Lord. As George Beverly Shea put it, wrote the song, sang the song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Rather have Jesus than riches untold. Rather have Jesus than houses or land. That's like one of the basics we feel like we deserve. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands. Rather have Jesus. He goes on to sing, I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. Rather be true to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I kid the young people that they seek after that. They say, no, no, no. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He's all my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead. Well, that's a Bible song about God's glorious riches in Christ. It's who he is. And then reflected in Psalm 63. Lord, your loving kindness is better than life. Life is fantastic. You say, here's life, and here's Christ and his love. Which one do you want the most? Christ and His loving kindness, even better than our 90 years of blessing and trials and so forth. But how do we try to meet our needs without Christ? That's a danger we want to repent of. And I just compare with you briefly the riches of man's religion versus the glorious riches of Christ. We can see it in the gospel. And we'll go with man's spirituality. This is actually from a story of a pastor getting a pamphlet from Scientology. Now, Scientology is a very small cult with a lot of resources and maybe 100,000 followers in the country. It's international, and they're really abusive, and you know they get a lot of ink for all their sound and fury, signifying nothing. But their spirituality and humanity's spirituality is basically says this: the problem is outside of me. Their whole shtick is, we can fix it. See the problems in the world? We can fix it. If we get smart enough, if we get determined enough, if we get use our minds enough, if we get united enough, we can fix it. The problem is outside of me. And the answer is inside of me. Okay? If it's to be, it's up to me. It's kind of an inward thing that Scientology and really all man-made religions do. Now, here's the gospel. The gospel says just the opposite. The problem is inside of me. This is the problem. Okay. I thought it was, you know, government things. I thought it was just culture gone crazy. But really, the problem is inside of me. And it came from all the people's hearts. And the answer is outside of me, that Jesus had to come and invade my soul, or nothing's going to happen of an eternal good nature. So the gospel shows us the riches of Christ to make it even more personal. Man's spirituality, this is like, the problem is not me. How many times have you thought that or said that this past week? The problem is not me. You're buying into the world's philosophy. Got to watch out. The Scientologists will recruit you. You know the problem's not me. If you're arguing with your spouse and your spouse says the problem's not me, you could say, "What are you, a Scientologist?" It might not win. But maybe better not say that. But you say, "Oh, I think it's in your heart, there, honey, sweetheart, whatever you call your dear wife." The problem is not in me. The answer is in me. Oh, boy. You know, it's a tire babble all over again. And so that's a problem. But look at the gospel. Helps us fall at the feet of Jesus. The gospel is, the problem is me. Yikes. I think it's the number one reason why people don't come to Christ. The problem is me. People in America think people don't come to Christ because the church is a little too slow. Church is a little bit too unfriendly. Church is a little bit too much doctrine. You know, church is a little bit too much singing the old songs or the new songs, which we don't know. And it's like, the problem is out there. Really. The gospel is, the problem is me. The problem is me. I need salvation. I need forgiveness. I need peace with God. And the answer is not me. The answer is Christ. The glorious riches in Him. Here's some things that would be of help. We're gonna breeze by this part here. And this is Streams in the Desert commenting on our need for the Lord. Do you find yourself empty with many needs, either met or unmet? You can go to folks who have all the outward needs met and still empty. This is God's way, when you feel empty, of having you ready so that He can fill you with Himself. So emptiness is, it's like a good pain, warning system. I need God. I need fellowship with Him. Since God created you for Himself, don't think you'll be satisfied with even the good things of creation for your soul. I got the new pair of shoes. I got this and that and the other. Won't be satisfied ultimately. You need God to fill you with Himself. Just like your lungs are only satisfied with oxygen. So I feel like, yeah, everything's clicking. So your soul is only satisfied with the Lord. Oh, Him. You know, the way, the truth, and the life, the bread of life. Eternal life with Jesus. Look at the riches in Christ. Just one more story and a hymn, and we'll have communion. But the riches Christ gives, mostly from His own initiative. This is all the work of God, zero the work of men. And so, it reminded me of a story of a worship service I was in for Thanksgiving. Mixed group of all Christian churches. So we all get together and then it's sharing time. What are you thankful for? People say great things. And one little 7-year-older said, I'm so thankful for my parents because they give me so much stuff. And everybody giggled. And the child was delighted and the parents felt, you know, very embarrassed. And it was not us, by the way, if you're thinking. But really, that child's heart, if you apply it to the Lord, shouldn't that be the thought of a Christian? I love my Father in heaven because He gives me so much of me. I mean, of Him. Sorry. So much of Him. He gives His life. It was mentioned at Dale Matthews' funeral. But one of those children said, hey, Daddy, thank you. You always gave me the best shoes. You always gave me, you know, this, that, and the other that was really great. But I said, thank you, Daddy, for teaching me. Thank you, Daddy, for this time. Thank you, Daddy, for sharing your life. And the Lord, He comes to us like that. Riches in Christ. What's He give? The whole creation. Oh, the whole creation. Without our aid, He did us make. Psalm 100. There's not anything that you and I ever see or touch that we created. We talked about even the polyester suits that the guys used to wear. Okay, totally artificial. I think half the elders have them on right now. That's not right. But anyway, you take total man-made things, you know. You think, well, man made that. No, they just took the molecules that God made and put them together. The whole creation for the glory of God. And then the incarnation, God's Spirit coming and choosing Mary. Mary was such a humble person. I can't believe God's choosing me. Jesus saving death. The only thing we contributed to the cross was our sin. And the nails into Jesus' hands and feet. God's love. Total riches, totally undeserved. He loved us before we knew Him. It's fantastic. And the blessings of knowing the Lord, mercy by definition, His glorious riches, undeserved. Grace, only there to be passed on. Forgiveness, He gives. And then the resurrection of Jesus, His physical body and our new life with Him. That's 100% of the glorious riches of His grace from Christ. Pentecost. The Holy Spirit coming upon these guys and gals. And for each believer, the gift. Second coming of Jesus. So many wonderful gifts. And in closing, to just hear the words of a good hymn, how God gives of Himself, from hymn 194. This is called, He Giveth More Grace. Ties in with what the Lord means to us. 194. He gives more grace when the burdens grow greater. We do have emptiness and sadness in our soul, but He comes and helps. He sends more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He adds His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. That's another thing we can't get ourselves. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. He has to give it. Verse 2, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed before the day is half done. You all know what that means. Right after lunch, you're like, can I get a four-hour nap or do I have to work all afternoon? When our strength has failed, if the day is half done, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, who He is, He gives and gives and gives again. Loving us all the way to heaven and sharing Himself in a home with us. What a wonderful Savior. Trust Him as your need. And His availability will be there. Might not get the shoes you want. Might not have the earache cured. You'll say, I'll take the Lord anyway.